Much fun. Oh, Father, we are so blessed. We are blessed because you love us and you pour out your mercy and grace toward us. And we can rely, we can bank on your grace. We know, Lord, that you pour out your grace to the upright in heart. And Lord, we know that we sin so much. And yet we confess our sins and you cleanse us from our sin. And you restore us into fellowship. Lord, we thank you for calling upon us, calling us into your mercies, into your grace, to be witnesses for you of a resurrected Lord, a living Lord, not a dead idol. But Lord, you lead us and guide us in the ways that we should go. And I pray, Lord, that we would be attentive to your word, that we would get to know your voice, that we would be able to, Lord, even in the din of shouting and screaming, Lord, we would be able to hear your still small voice and be able to walk in the ways that you would have us to go. Oh, Lord, I pray that each one of our lives would be a testimony of the work that you do in our lives. That as we give up the right to ourselves, Lord, that you would reign supreme, leading and guiding and making no offense to anyone. But, Lord, just showing forth your grace and your mercy. So, Lord, have your way with us. Fill us with your Spirit each and every day, a continuous flow all day long of your Spirit in our lives, that we may worship you and honor you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn in our Bibles to James chapter 3. Now, James is one of those books that people like to avoid because it's so convicting. And it should be. It's the purpose of the book is to be convicting. James was one that knew hypocrisy. James knew that, you know, those that were in the leadership of the church, they would say one thing and do another. They would say, yes, worship the Lord and give glory to his name as they're devouring widows' houses. And it was so unnerving to those that are filled with the Spirit, because we know that isn't the way that we are supposed to walk. And so he says, be ye doers of the word. Let the word have its perfect work in you. And that's what it's about. It's about hearing the word and realizing that you are holy, Lord, and I'm not. And I want to be like you. So I confess that I'm not like you. Fill me with your Spirit so that I can be a witness of forgiveness. That's what we are, you know, that's what we're all about. That's what the Lord is about. It's about forgiving sin, because he doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to everlasting life. Now, we know that all won't, but that's not our call. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if nobody that you ever talk to ever comes to the Lord. It's not your call. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is to just be a witness. Case in point, Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet. Has the Lord called Jeremiah at a young age? First of all, one strike because he was young. Who's going to listen to some young punk? You know, oh yeah, you're going to come up and tell me how to live. I've been walking with the Lord for 30 years, and you, young whippersnapper, you're going to tell me how I'm supposed to live? What do you know about life? You don't know anything about life. God warned him in advance. He says, hey, look, you know what? I want you to talk. I'm going to give you the words to speak. You speak those words. But I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to tell you this up front. Nobody's going to listen to you. You're not going to receive any converts. How disheartening is that? The Lord's going to say you're going to fail in the world's eyes. But that's not who we live for, is it? We live for the Lord. And if the Lord is pleased with what it is that we do because he has directed us to do it, that's all that matters. I think about, you know, the workplaces that I've been. Now, there are people that, you know, they knuckle down and they get the job done as best they can. There are others, they sit back, they're on their phone or talking to their friends or they're on social media. And there's a lot of work to be done, but then, you know. And you think, well, why is it that I'm working my tail off and these guys, they get to just goof around. They make the same money as I do. That's not fair. It's to their own masters that they rise and fall, the Lord always tells me. It's to their own masters. If their own masters say that that's all right, butt out. Not your concern. Doesn't matter what somebody else does. People will email me all the time about, hey, what about missionaries? Do you have missionaries going out from your church? So I don't know that anybody's been called in my church to be a missionary, our church, our fellowship. That's, when the Lord calls somebody to do something, they go out and they do it. That's what missionary is about. That's what evangelism is about. That's about service unto the Lord. My whole premise in this fellowship is to get to know the Lord. Let the Lord lead and guide and direct. I'm not here to run anybody's life. I'm not here to set up programs to send people out to do this or that. The Lord will do that. He will put it upon their heart. Who put it on the heart of Hudson Taylor to go to China to preach? It was the Lord. It was the Lord that supplied the needs. It was the Lord that supplied the people. It was the Lord that did all of these things. Glory unto the Lord, because the Lord got all the glory. Probably a lot of you have never heard of Hudson Taylor. Well, there's a lot of people that you have never heard of that have done great things unto the Lord. Great things. In our minds, even great things. But what does that matter? Guess what? The Lord wants you to do great things for Him in the places that He has sent you. Wherever it is that He sent you, wherever it is that you are to be, that's where you are to be great for the Lord. And it doesn't matter if people recognize that or not. That's not who you work for. You work for the Lord. And before Him, you rise or you fall. He is your master. We are the servant. And we go out and we do what the Lord has commanded us to do. Now, in verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Now, this is, a lot of folks think, well, man, to be a pastor or to be in the ministry, that's the greatest calling ever. That's not so. That is a calling, but it is a calling of the Lord, and we do not choose our calling. Our callings are chosen for us. We walk in the way that the Lord has called us to go. If the Lord has called you to be a preacher, then you'll be a great preacher before the Lord. If the Lord has called you to be a plumber, you will be the great plumber before the Lord. You will be a witness in whatever job that the Lord has you in at the time. Now, those things may change. Some of you may be ministers. Maybe some of you may be missionaries. Some of you may be evangelists. But when you hear the voice of the Lord moving you, I'm sure we've all had that. You're doing something, you're going along, everything's running smoothly, and all of a sudden you hear the Lord's voice saying, "I want you to change jobs." Wow, everything was going so well, Lord, and now you want me to, and it's just a feeling that you get. It's just like a still small voice that says, "I want you to change jobs." And then all of a sudden, you're in this other job. And you can't believe it because the Lord has called you into this. This is where you are to be. It's just like me recently. I was at a place, I had no intention of leaving because I knew this is where the Lord wanted me to be. All of a sudden, I wasn't there anymore. And I said, "Okay, Lord, where do you want me to go now?" And now He's put me into another place. And I'll be there until He moves me to another place altogether. So it's about being obedient. And there is no higher or lower calling. If you're called of the Lord to do whatever it is that you do, do it with all your might before the Lord. Being a minister is a very difficult task to be because I have been called into the ministry and I must give the word of God as it is. I'm not supposed to put my opinion in it. I'm not supposed to put, any slant that I may believe on one hand or the other. But I just have to give out the pure word of God and let the Holy Spirit work in the people's lives that hear it so that they will go out and do. And that's how you know that you're hearing the word of God, that you're actually getting into the word of God. Because I'll say something and it'll spark something in your mind and then you'll go and look it up to prove whether these things be so. Acts 17:11. Don't take my word for it. But sometimes something will sound just a little bit off. And then you'll say, "Well, wait a minute, man. Let me research that." That's the Holy Spirit wanting to bring you deeper into something. Not that what I've said is wrong, but it's just, when it just doesn't sit right. And you go in and start digging it out for yourself. That's the Holy Spirit getting us. I want to show you something more. I want to show you something deeper. You see, we go over a lot of surface stuff here, but below the surface, there is real meat. There is real spiritual food for you to receive. And I have to be mindful that whatever it is that I teach, I'm going to be judged for that. I'm going to be judged on a higher standard because here you are sitting every week listening to me, and I'm responsible to making sure that I'm prayed up, studied up, and that the words that I speak, the Holy Spirit is using in the lives of the people. Because verse 2 is what I really kind of, you know, hang my hat on. For in many things we offend all. So I say, if there isn't something that offends everybody, just hang around, I'll get to you. Don't worry. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle his whole body. You see, that's not me. I'm not able to bridle my tongue. Okay? I'm going to confess it to you right now that this is very convicting for me, but it's convicting in a good way. Because what this does is it stops you, this whole chapter, this whole book actually, stops you from thinking that you have arrived. It goes right to the core. It goes right to the heart of the matter of every person that has ever lived. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now we know, when I was in California, California was so dry, even back 25 years since we've been in California. But I remember I used to love to go up into the canyons. Oh, loved it. Had my bike on there. And we could only go to a certain point. And then they'd have this barrier up there that says, unless you have spark suppressors on your muffler, you can't go any further. Because just a little spark from, you know, I mean, it's imperceptible. You can't even see it at night. But there are little sparks that will go out and land in this tinder dry brush. And boom, immediately, you've got a brush fire. And I mean, it's so bad that sometimes even as you're walking, the static electricity from your shoes will start a fire in the brush. You know, it's phenomenal. But a little spark will cause a huge, huge fire. You don't have to have a lighter or anything like that. Just the static alone will be able to do that. Well, when I had hair, you know, you wouldn't do that now. But the tongue is of the same sort. You know, it's, you know, and James is going to be bringing this out just so much that, you know, like we'll be blessing God. Oh, praise God. You know, I'm on my way to work in the morning and there's hardly any traffic out and I'm just cruising along, just praising the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my job. Thank you for this time that I'm able to just spend with you. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, zoom, zoom, cuts right in front of me and stops. What the? You know, and 1 minute I'm praising and blessing God, and the next minute I'm cursing this person that did something in my mind that was pretty foolish. Stupid. I mean, I look in my mirror, there's nobody behind me. You had to come up. I'm the only one on the road, and you got to come up and cut in front of me to get over into your lane, and you missed it. Cindy and I were driving yesterday. We were going south on I-75 and coming back from some errands, and at the 696 turnoff there, somebody from the left-hand lane went over four lanes and over the median and to get into the lane to go on eastbound 696. And I was just thinking, man, that's crazy. Why would that person do that? But what spurred in my thought was just this. You know, that how could I be praising God in 1 minute and then cursing man in the next minute? It just... How can this be? Well, the whole aspect is that we have not arrived. And we need to be humble before the Lord. And even though that we're praising and worshiping God and our mind is totally on Him, the smallest thing can come and upset us and bring us back down to earth. We could be in the heavenlies, but there are things that are dragging us down into the earth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Man, just mark the things that come out of your mouth. Just think about it. You're in church 1 minute and you're just praising and worshiping God and hearing the Lord and just asking for His Holy Spirit to come down, and then all of a sudden you're out with a bunch of coworkers or something and about Tuesday or Wednesday morning, and what's coming out of your mouth then? You just kind of like fall into line with what's going on with them. Hey, did you see the latest TV program? Man, did you see this and that and the other thing? And you just kind of like, oh, you know what? I try to avoid that kind of thing because, first of all, I don't watch them. But I know from the conversations of my coworkers every single debaucherous TV show that's on TV now. I don't have to watch it. I get the updates from them. Thank you, Lord, for bringing these people into my existence so I can, I'm trying to keep myself pure over here, and you people just, and it's, the language is, even in the professional atmosphere these days, it's just. You'd think that you were in a bar room somewhere, just a bunch of sailors. No offense to sailors, but sometimes their language is a little saucy. I mean, you've been out in the sea for a while, and they come in. Well, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's a euphemism. You talk like a sailor. What does that mean? It means profanity. That's what it means. So the Bible here tells us the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. Now he's talking about those in our body, in our fellowship. Man, what is it that we talk about? What is the fire that we're setting here among brethren? Are we speaking the things of the Lord, or are we talking about the things of the world? Now, there are things in the world that we can talk about, but mostly our whole focus should be on the Lord and encouraging people in the Lord to forget about the world for just a second and focus on the Lord. Let's get our hearts and our minds in tune, in unity. And that's what it talks about. It's so how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity, in the unity of mind that we're here to worship the Lord. Then let us worship the Lord while we're here. Let us not squander this time talking about the lions, the tigers, and the bears. Who cares about that? We want to know about the Lord. We want to see the good things that are happening in the lives of believers. So the tongue is among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and that been tamed of mankind and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, when I was young, I learned about these guys called monks, okay? And they lived in these monasteries. And you know what they did to counter this, to try to disprove the Bible? I don't think they tried to, I don't think they did that to this, but I think they did. What they were trying to do was they were trying to conquer the tongue. So what they would do is they would take vows of silence. Now, this is an outward sign, okay? But what's going on in the inside? You may not verbalize, after you've been out there in the fields and all of a sudden you get a thorn through your hand. And you may not scream out the things that you're thinking, but you're thinking them. They're in your heart. And they just happen to come glibly out of your mouth if you haven't taken this vow of silence. But they try to counteract this by, not speaking. Oh, therefore I'm doing, I've controlled my tongue. I'm not speaking anymore. But that has little or nothing to do with what we're talking about here. It's what's going on in the inside. That's what's being talked about. What's going on in the heart of men? Women, Mr. and Mrs. Man is when I say that. So. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. This hits home. This really hits home to me. Especially, like I said, my weakness being on the freeway, as a lot of you understand what I'm talking about here. But armed with this, you know what? I'm not so quick to get angry. I'm not so quick to do that. Because if I'm blessing God, you see, He gives us peace. And at the end of the chapter, we're going to see that. The word of God is peaceable. And our fellowship, if we're having fellowship with God, that's what He's going to give us. He's going to give us peace. He's going to give us patience, long-suffering, goodness, mercy. All of those things are going to have an effect in our lives. So when those things happen, and they will, they're not going to stop because we are following after the Lord. In fact, they may even increase because we have an enemy that rules and reigns on this earth, the prince and the power of the air. And he has control of those people who don't know the Lord and are not controlled by the Spirit of God. And they come into our ways by the direction of our enemies. But yet we don't react in that same way because we have the Spirit of the living God. We have been in contact with the Lord. We have fellowship with the Lord. We have fellowship every moment of every day. And so when these things happen, we cry out unto the Lord. Oh, Lord, this is what I'm feeling, but I need your Spirit not to react. And he's then getting the credit for the way that we react. And he's also getting the glory. Because we didn't kill this person that desperately needed it, okay, in our minds. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Now, he's laying it on pretty emphatic here. You're right, it shouldn't be. Sadly, though, it is. It is. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. So what this means, basically, is that we have confessed our inadequacies unto the Lord. Lord, I am inadequate to be able to control my tongue. I need your Spirit to do this. I can't do it. I need you. See, the Lord shows us the things that are going on inside us, the more we cry out to the Lord to change us. And as the change starts to come, we can sit back and say, wow, that guy just cut me off and I had to slam on my brakes and I didn't even get upset because I was ready for it. The Holy Spirit was there holding my hand the whole time, and give glory to God, I didn't react. And you start to see the transformation that's taken place in your life because you're calling upon the source that can do it. We can't do it. There are no 12-step programs that control anger. As much as we like to think that there's an anger management program out there, it's born in the heart of men. Disappointment is born in the heart of men. It reacts to the situations around us. But the Holy Spirit makes those things null and void. It doesn't matter. Disappointment. Somebody got promoted. Somebody that doesn't do half the work that I do got promoted. Well, praise God. He's keeping me from something. It wasn't for me. Just like my job. I do this. Somebody else does that. Now, they may make tons more money than I do. They may have a whole lot better lifestyle than I do. But am I supposed to get envious of that, or am I supposed to say, okay, well, I'll go to school and try to be like that? No, that's not your calling. You see, you have talents, and the Lord has brought these talents out for you to do the business that you're supposed to do. Allow the Lord to do these things. Now, he shows us that, yeah, people do make more money, but are they happier? They still have problems like we do. We may not have the same problems as people that are filthy rich. They don't seem to have problems. They can just buy their way out of things. But they don't have any need for a Savior either. So we can consider ourselves blessed beyond abundance because we don't have, and we have need of a Savior. And we cry out to that Savior, and that Savior helps us. Savior helps us. But you know what? At the end of it all, as we read in the Psalm, the Lord is able to deliver our soul from the wicked. So when we leave this world, we will be before him and live with him eternally. And those that have been wicked and those that have not called upon the name of the Lord will be forever banished into the fires of hell. But more desperate than that is they will be separated from the true and the living God for eternity. I find that to be a greater hell than any kind of a fiery pit, even though the Bible says that that's what it is, but to be separated from the one that we've been looking for all of our lives. Oh man, to be deceived, to realize. Have you ever been deceived before? No? Just, well, be patient. They'll get to you. Ever gotten a call from the IRS saying you owe money? There are people out there, there's all manner of things, people out there that want to deceive. And when you find out you got deceived, oh man, you think, oh, what a fool I've been. But to stand before the living and true God at the end of it, at the white throne judgment, realizing that this is the love that I have yearned for, that I have sought after all of my life, and then to hear those words, depart from me, ye accursed, into an everlasting fire. Oh my gosh, they're going to realize I've been deceived. I deceived myself. Other men have deceived me as I've listened to them and have taken on their arguments, and I've rejected the true and the living God, and now I'm separated for eternity from him. What a, that to me would be more painful. Just knowing that this is what I've always, always wanted throughout this meager lifetime. Whether I live 70, 80, 90 years, I've searched for this and never achieved it. I tried to do it with my job, with success, with friends, with philanthropy, with doing good things, whatever. And none of it ever satisfied. To know, to stand before the Lord and, oh, this is what I've always wanted. And he says, I'm sorry, but I have to send you away because you didn't want me in your lifetime. I really don't think I would be able to handle that. Don't think I would be able to handle watching that. Because I'm not going to experience that. Because I've laid down my life. And the Lord is the God of my life. And it's him that I worship and him alone. The things that happen to me are because he hath planned them to be so. And so, I got laid off. Oh well, Lord will get me another job if he wants. Or he'll send the ravens to feed me. Whatever it's going to be. What do you want me... Whatever you want, Lord, I'm yours. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. And this is why we gather ourselves together. And this is why, the admonition is do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together, because then you'll be able to see the goodness and the mercy of the Lord with those that have conquered. To those that have yielded themselves to show you the ways to go. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Don't lie against the truth. Well, this is the way God made me, so this is the way I am. Take it or leave it. No. The Lord loved you and created you, and this is the way you are because of the world's fashioning. But once we come to know the Lord, he doesn't want to leave us in that same condition. He wants to transform us because we now have something greater. People that worship idols, as we saw on Wednesday, we kind of went over this. People that worship idols, they'll take a block of stone or a block of wood or whatever, and they'll carve eyes on it, and they'll carve ears and a mouth, and it'll make it look kind of human, and then they bow down and worship it. But guess what? You become like the thing that you worship. If you worship a block of wood, then you're going to become like a block of wood. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have a mouth, but they can't speak. And yet men will worship them. Some of them have chrome. Some of them have bright, shiny colors on them. And they become just like them. Very fast, but corrupted. What's the average car last these days? 5, 10 years? A lot of people worship cars. You see them. We have a what they call the dream cruise up where we are, and people line up to worship their gods. You see them up there, and the TV crews are out there. It's amazing the correlation there. And they'll ooh and ah, and they'll look. And I mean, if you're a car enthusiast, I'm sorry, but maybe the Lord will deliver you from worshiping those idols. I don't know. Some of them are called Chrysler. Some of them are this or that. Whatever. But it's the same thing. You look at them and you say, man, look at these folks. They're drooling over these machines. They don't give you life. The only pleasure you get out of them is looking at them. But they don't change your life at all. In fact, they bring you down. Those blocks of wood, those blocks of stone, they are less than you are, and you are worshiping them. Now take that on the other hand. Here we are. As creations of God Almighty, we worship God. He is the greater. We're going to be ascending up to be like him. Our lives are going to be transformed because the greater is going to bless the lesser. And We are going to then start to receive from him the grace, the mercy, the transformation that is going to take place. The grace is the power of God that transforms us into his image. And that's what he's really all about. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now, just to use the Dream Crew, since I brought it up, you know, I hear guys talk about it all the time. Now, I don't know a whole lot about cars and stuff like this, but I know enough to, you know, to hear when people are envying and striving, you know, such as, oh, well, I had this model car and it had a 457 in it. And then I had this one and it had a four barrel carbon, you know, and you just kind of like, so they're going back and forth and they're, you know, this, my car is better than your car, you know, I mean, you know, I get it. This is what car enthusiasts do. But when you have strife and envy, what do you got at the end of it all? Man, I wish I had his car. And the other guy's saying, I wish I had his car. He had a nice Mustang. And I have a nice Chevy. Let's trade. But the Lord has something else to say. He says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. When we get into Psalm 119, that is going to be brought out so much. From Psalm 113 to 118 was the Hallel Psalms, the Hallelujah, the coming of the Messiah. It all built up to the coming of the Messiah. But after that comes the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's all about the Word, Jesus Christ. And if you want to know about God, get into the Word. Read the Word. Study the Word. The more you get into the Word, you're going to know more about Christ. Psalm 119 is it's in like these, you know, if you're musically inclined, you know, they've got the 8-verse stanzas, you know, and they just go on. And I wish somebody would write some songs about that, you know, put it to melody, put it in, you know, put it into good use there. But the wisdom that is from above, okay, now wait a minute, I missed verse 15 there. The wisdom, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. These things from the world, the earth, the world, the flesh, the world, the devil, and all of these things that keep us down, things that blind us. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Why is it peaceable? Because it's coming from God. We're having fellowship with God. You know, it's like he's in control. We realize that. He is in control. He's making all of these things happen. We're just players in it, and all we have to do is get with his program. It's like, you know, let's say you're for a moment there that you're on the verge of bankruptcy and you owe $200,000-$300,000. There's no ability, I have no resources to be able to pay, but then somebody that has, you know, millions and millions of dollars comes by and says, ah, don't worry about it, I'll take care of that. The relief. Oh, all of a sudden somebody's taking care of this. Now put yourself into the shoes of reality. Man, I have all of this sin. I have all of these things. I can't control any of it. It says in James, where I have to control my tongue, I can't do that. And then the Lord comes in and says, I can do that for you. I can take that away from you. Spend some time with me. When Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, was she talking or was she listening? She was listening. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants to sit at his feet and listen to what he has to say. If there was any wisdom whatsoever that we could impart unto God, then he wouldn't be God. So the more we listen to him, the more that we're going to be transformed, because we're hearing and we're obeying those things that he tells us. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's gentle. Has anybody ever approached you on the street and kind of what I like to call the Bible thumpers, thump you on the head? Hey, brother, if you don't repent of your sins, you're going to hell. Now, truth. No doubt, but it's hardly gentle. Okay? And remember what the scriptures tell us. The Lord is gentle. He shall lead his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms. His tenderness, his kindness, this is what the Holy Spirit does. He's never going to come in and, you know, disrupt your life in such a manner that, you know, that you're going to, you know, lose faith in everything. The Lord's going to come by with a still, small voice. And he's going to lead. Come, let's go into peace. Let's, you know, the world's falling apart, but I want to give you peace. But he wants to give you love. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you long suffering. So it's peaceable versus pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good works or good fruits. Full. This is the way that the Lord leads. It's gentle. You know, to sit there and browbeat somebody for making a mistake, that's, they already know they made a mistake. They need to know how to get it taken care of. Let's go before the Lord. Let's go into his presence. Let's see. Let's go and worship the Lord. Without partiality and without hypocrisy, meaning saying one thing and doing another. Oh, we're all filled with hypocrisy. You know, I mean, you know, people say, oh, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. Well, what do you think? The movie theaters aren't filled with hypocrites? But you go there. What about those concert halls? You think they're not hypocrites there? Yeah. But let's single out the church. Why? Because we strive to be something else. We proclaim the goodness and the mercy of the Lord, and yet our lives don't show it sometimes. But then we can testify that all I have to do is confess my sin, and the Lord will forgive me for my sin, and I'm back on track again. I'm in the sweet fellowship of God. You know how it feels when you confess your sin? Man, you just, it's just like being, you know, awashed anew. It's like getting up out of those out of the shower after you've been out in the, working in the yard, and you got dirt and you got sweat all over you. You take that shower and you, how do you feel? You feel great. I do anyway. It's the same thing I do when I get showered by the Lord. When he showers me with his grace, with his mercy, after I've confessed my sin, he restores me into fellowship, and I have that peace with God. I have that peace that passes all understanding. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Make peace with God and make peace with each other. You see, once we've made peace with God, then we're able to have peace with our brothers and sisters. And we're able to encourage. Oh, let us go unto the house of the Lord. And let us exalt his name. Let us confess our sins before him and have sweet fellowship with him so that we can have sweet fellowship with others. And it's always good to have a partner. It's always good to have not so much, you know, a friend that you can go and talk with. You know, men with men, women with women, that you can, you know, hey, I'm struggling with this. And it's not something that we really want to pour into the opposite sex, but one in with the same sex. As far as, man, I'm struggling with this kind of thing. There's this envy that I just can't seem to get out of my mind. Can you come with me and pray? Can you, you know, let's go before the Lord. I want to get some resolution on this. And so we can be praying for one another. We can be lifting each other up, and in the right manner too. The fruit of righteousness, and that's what we want. We want to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ, is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let us be peacemakers today, brothers and sisters. Let us make peace with God. Let us make peace with one another. And let us live peaceably with all men, as much as it lies with us. Let us live peaceably. Let us not hold things to their account, but let's just forget about it. Let us just be quick to forgive as the Lord is quick to forgive us. You see, he shows us beforehand how it is that we're supposed to do. He forgives us immediately. How do we know this? Because the Bible tells us so. And so we can forgive those, even though they haven't asked for it. Has people ever come against you and not asked for forgiveness? But what's the Lord say to do? Forgive. Just forgive them. Just like I have forgiven you, you forgive them. And then you find, man, I don't have any strife against that. I can think about that person. I'm not going to get upset because I've already forgiven them. There's no striving. Those things are going to keep coming up. The enemy is going to keep bringing those things up. But, hey, I've forgiven them. You see, it's our exercise. I love the commercial on TV, and I'll just end with this, of the guy that does the one push-up to start hop. My kind of regiment, man. I can almost get one. So you keep praying for that. But, you know, it's that easy. We've been forgiven, so we forgive in the same manner. God is quick to forgive. We should be quick to forgive as well. And then they will ask you, about the hope that lies within you because you have that peace. And it's peace that they want, and it's turmoil that they have. Heavenly Father, I do pray that your Holy Spirit would just permeate our lives, that you would just fill us to overflowing, that you would bring these things to our hearts and minds, Lord, as we wait upon you. And Lord, let us wait upon you. Let us sit at your feet and hear your word. And Lord, let us absorb just all of these things and put them into practice. Lord, we do love you, and we pray this week that we would give you glory in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.